Power. You think about when you think about power, there's a million possibilities, right? There are so many different kinds of power, so many different kinds of ways you can look at it. Let me tell you some of the ones that I think about when I think about power. I sometimes think about like a raging river, right? Somebody ever been to Niagara Falls and you can almost feel the ground shaking when that water is coming off the edge there. That's power. I mean, there was some guy who literally got in a barrel some years ago and wanted to go off Niagara Falls, and that didn't work out very well. It's just too powerful. You're not going to survive being in a barrel going off of Niagara Falls, but he tried it and it didn't work out well at all. That's power, guys. That's family. That is something that we can't even imagine. That is so much power coming through there that it's just hard to even grasp. And you got physical power like that, but you also have power like in men. I mean, look at these presidents here. You know, our last four presidents there, that is a lot of power. I mean, being in the military, being in the federal government, these men have a lot of power right at their fingertips. They can start wars and stop wars. They can do all of these things just by picking up a phone. They could call a meeting and say, I want to go to war with this country. They feel like they're justified. There we are in the war. And it's happened in our country's past where these men, you know, not in bad ways, I'm just saying that that's their job to make sure they protect those. That's a lot of power resting in one person. I'll tell you something else that's powerful. A hurricane. For those of you who've never been through a hurricane, you don't understand power until you go through a hurricane. I've been through a couple. And let me tell you something, they are powerful. They are something that you just can't even imagine until you go through them. When we were going through Katrina, we actually left maybe 8 hours before the hurricane got there, if that. And we were driving across the bridge, and we could barely keep the car on the road because the hurricane wasn't even there yet, and the winds were so powerful, it almost knocked us off the road. That is power. But let me tell you something about power that I've realized since I was thinking about this, since I was working on this lesson. I said, people react to power, don't they? They don't know that power is coming, and then they just act like everything is fine. I can remember when Hurricane Katrina was coming, everybody would board up their houses. For people that lived in Florida, they'd say, if I know this big, huge, powerful hurricane is coming, I'm not just going to go sit on the porch and drink sweet tea. What I'm going to do is I'm going to board up my windows. I'm going to make sure that everything is covered up because I recognize and I respect this power that's coming. Nobody acts like everything is normal when they have power coming. Nobody acts like everything is just going to be fine. We always act differently when it comes down to power. But let me tell you something. The God that we serve can look at that hurricane and say, I want you to stop right there and don't move another inch. That's the God that we serve. And if we're going to have respect for a hurricane, then we ought to have respect for the God who can stop it right in his tracks. Amen? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the power of God. I know you were looking at this passage that I had the brother read there. You're probably saying, oh my goodness, Buck is going to get up here and talk about divorce. I'm not. The point here that I'm making about this passage is this, is that these men had it made up in their minds what something was. They go to Jesus with this problem and they say, hey, you know, is this going to be like this in the afterlife? Jesus, tell me, how is it going to be in the afterlife when it comes down to marriage and divorce? And Jesus says, you don't even know who you're talking about. You don't have any idea what you're saying. The God that you serve is more powerful than what you have wrapped up in your mind. Sometimes we can confine power to what we think it is. Sometimes I can look at a situation like, I know how powerful it is. And Jesus was saying to these folks, you have no idea who you're talking about. You're talking about relationships. When we get to heaven, everybody's going to be angels. What are you doing talking about relationships? You don't understand who you're dealing with. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying. So today we're going to go through here and talk about the power of God, because it's good that we see this and we recognize this and we deal with this sometimes. I mean, we take it and we really think about the power that God has demonstrated to us over and over in the Bible. So to start, we're going to go back to Exodus. We're going to go back almost to the beginning. And when we examine God's power, we're going to go back to Exodus 9, 1 through 7. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold on to them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, camels, and the herds, and on the flocks. Moses saying, hey, listen here. You got to let God's people go, Pharaoh. Let them go. I'm telling you, if you don't let them go, God is saying he's going to take care of some things in a way that you hadn't even imagined. So what God do? He says, you know what? I'm going to demonstrate my power to let this guy know that I am who I am when I'm talking to him. So what does he do? He says, you know, I got these Egyptian animals and I got these animals of the children of Israel. And let me tell you something. I being God, I'm going to go through here and I'm saying, I'm going to take care of all these Egyptian animals. They will not live. When I get done, every one of these Egyptian animals will not live. That's power for some being to just say, I'm going to wipe out all of these animals. But here's the deal. Not only did he say that, he says, but the animals of Israel, they're going to live. I'm not going to mess with them. Now, if I was in Pharaoh's shoes then, if I'd have been that guy and somebody comes and tells me, well, look, I'm going to kill all your animals, but all these other animals I'm going to keep alive, I would say, this being is more powerful than me, and I need to bow down to this being. But that's not what happened. He went on about his way, and like I said, with the hurricane, when you see power, what do? You deal with it. But he didn't deal with it. This is the God that we serve. We talk about power. Let's talk about weather. We look at the Weather Channel all the time. I know I do. That they say that the weather app on your phone is the most used thing on your phone. You look at that more than you look at anything for the weather, right? I mean, every time I look around, it's like, you know what? Just think about it. What do we do before we have these fancy phones? Do we have to wait till the news come on? Jim, did you have to wait till the news? I don't want to hear that. Stop it. If we had to wait till the news come on, it's like, man, like that's like 3 hours away. Now we're looking at the weather all the time just to see what it is when we wake up out of the bed. I want to see what the temperature is going to be. And then we sometimes don't think, and I know this is Buck included, this is me, we sometimes don't realize that we're looking at this weather and the God that we serve controls all of it. He says, I can make it do whatever I want it to do. We're up here looking at the Weather Channel, and we have to realize that we serve a God who controls it all. And if you think about it in that perspective, it's like, man, my God controls every bit of that. Exodus 9, 18 through 26. So I'm going to turn there. Exodus 9, 18 through 26. You can turn there if you want to as well. This is talking about the plague of hail. Here again, right after the Egyptian cattle are killed, God says, you know what? You don't want to let my people go? You don't want to recognize my power? Okay, I'm going to bring hail that you've never seen before. So he brings hail, and let me tell you what he says here. The hail was severe. In Exodus 9 and 25, the hail that struck all was in the field through all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. The hail also struck every plant of the field and shattered every tree of the field. See, when I read through this, and I've read through this in the past, I'm like, you know what? This hail must have been bad. And I didn't catch what he said right here. He said the hail shattered every tree in the field. Now, that is a hailstorm. I lived in Texas, and the hail would come through, and it would damage the roof because you'd have softball-sized hail come through, and then it'll just literally punch a hole through your roof. But it still wouldn't mess up a tree. It still wouldn't shatter a tree. And God said, you don't want to let my people go? I'm going to show you my power. This is the God that we currently serve, brothers and sisters. This is not some mythical creation that was way back then. This is the God that we're here right now worshiping said, I'm going to shatter every tree in the field with my power. Now, that is power. But here's the crazy part about it. Every time God demonstrates his power, he doesn't just demonstrate it and say, I'm powerful, I can do this. He says, but I will spare my own with my power. He doesn't just say, I got all this power, and I'm going to do all these things, and I'm going to, you know, make everybody believe. He says, for my own, I'm going to spare them. And that's exactly what he did with the hail. If you look in Exodus 9 and 26, but only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. There was none. He's always spared his own when it comes down to his power. If you believe in his power, that's like putting up the board for a hurricane because you know what's coming and you respect it. And he says, I'm not going to do that. But for the folks who don't want to deal with it, and see, here's the deal. Sometimes we think because we're living in this point now where God is not interjecting all the time, we think, oh, well, maybe God is not, you know, that same God. Yes, he is that same God. He's just holding on till till the sun comes back, and then he's going to demonstrate his power again. We have to believe that he's going to do that. But he still absolutely has every bit of that power that he demonstrated at that moment. He has it right now. And the only reason why the world is not feeling his wrath is because he's deciding not to. You need to realize that. And even when that wrath comes, Even when this power happens, we're going to be safe because we recognize his power and we recognize what he can do. And you know, Jesus has that same power. I was typing this handout, and I put on there Jesus had with a D, and I had to catch myself. And I said, man, why did I put had with the D? Because the God that we serve, this Jesus, the Christ that has all power, has this power right now as we're speaking. It's not a past tense thing. And sometimes we look at this Bible, even though it was written 2,000 years ago, we look at it and say, well, that was then. No, 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 no. If your sins are being washed away continuously, as the Bible says, then right now at this moment, Jesus Christ has that power. Amen. Got to believe that. We got to know that. And we got to treat him in such a way. And we'll talk about it a little bit later. Jesus had this same power. You can look in the Bible and read how they were on the water. And Jesus is at the stern asleep. Now let me tell you something. That's power. If your boat is rocking in the water and you're asleep, Jesus is like, I made the weather. Why would I be worried because of a little storm? He's sitting there in the stern of the boat asleep. And the disciples are there worried, like, oh, what are we going to do, Jesus? What are we going to do? See, maybe they didn't realize that Jesus is the source of all of this. And he just gets out and says, hey, almost like I'm trying to take a nap here, stop. And everything was calm. Could you imagine a hurricane coming? You know, we were in the Navy, so there was Hurricane Katrina. And I don't know if you remember that, but Hurricane Rita came right after Hurricane Katrina. And Hurricane Rita kind of missed us a little bit. Let me tell you what sailors do when they get bored. These people tied sheets to their feet and to their arms. And being that the hurricane wasn't that strong, they only had like 50, 60 mile an hour winds. They just jumped off the second floor with the sheets and just, you know, let the wind catch them. That's what they did, sailors. We're not the smartest people sometimes. But these sailors did this. And imagine, these sailors, you see them, I could see them. I remember being in the barracks, like, I can remember seeing this. And could you imagine, they're out floating and the wind has caught them and here they go. Then all of a sudden, somebody comes out of the barracks and says, stop. And the wind is calm. There's no more trees blowing and the sky turns blue. That is absolute power. And I'm going to say it again. Do you realize that as we sit here right now, we worship that God? And that should give us chills. That makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up when you think about this, that we worship a God that does it just like that. But what about us? Does he have power over us? This is something that's worth talking about. Genesis 41, let's turn there. If you have an opportunity, turn to Genesis 41, verses 1 through 37. I'm not going to go through all that. Mike, you should be thankful I was going to have you go through all that. But I love your brother, so I'm not going to have you read 37 verses. Genesis 41, Pharaoh has this dream. And he's like, man, I don't know what this dream is about. This dream is like, man, these talking about cows and all of this stuff. And I was looking at the cows, and they were on the Nile River and all this stuff. And Pharaoh was like, I do not know what is going on, but I had this vivid dream. Then Joseph comes along. He sends Joseph and says, hey, can you interpret this dream? And Joseph's like, well, of course I can interpret this dream. This means that it's about to be bad for you, Pharaoh. That's what this means. When I first read this, and I remember going through the law, reading the first five books of the Bible when I first was baptized, and I read this, I just kind of flipped the page and didn't even realize what was happening. But what God was saying is, I have control to put things in your brain, and I have also enough control to make somebody else come along and understand the things that I put in your brain. Golly, that is powerful. Just think about it. He put something, just imagine, he put something in somebody's brain over here that they don't understand, but somebody over here didn't even see that dream and comes over here and says, I could tell you what your dream meant. Woo, woo, that is powerful for somebody to be able to come along and do that. He can put things in our brain that we may or may not understand, and somebody else can come along and interpret it. Wow, that is powerful, and we worship that God. I mean, it's hard for me to even grasp this, church, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's hard for me to even really wrap my arms around this God that I'm talking about. And here's the part about it. The only reason, and I'm going to say this again, the only reason why God is not demonstrating that power right now is not because we deserve for him not to demonstrate that power, because we don't deserve it. It's not because he's not able, because he's able. He's demonstrated it. It's because he loves us so much that he's saying, no, my son washed away your blood, washed away your sins with his blood, and that's good. You stand before me perfect. Now, church, let me tell you something. When you step back and realize that about this God, that he's letting all this happen because he loves us so much, that ought to make you look at him a little bit different than what we've been looking at him like. Amen? For me and everybody here, and maybe, you know what? And some people here, I'm not saying that we don't look at God the right way. Some people may have this respect and awe for God already there, but I know I have to catch myself sometimes and realize that I'm just not talking about some guy. I'm just not talking about something. I'm talking about God. So I need to respect him and live my life in such a manner that is going to give him that respect. I'm going to say this too. One more thing when it comes down to talk about God, he has power over time. This is something that I know I can't really wrap my mind around yet. He has absolute power over time. In Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, one of the most famous passages in the Bible, it talks about a new covenant that's coming. This new covenant is coming. I'm going to make a new covenant with my people. And then in Matthew 1 and 23, he gives us Jesus. See, that's power over time. See, he says, I'm going to make this new covenant and everything's going to be different. And then we turn all the way to the New Testament and we can see Jesus, the Christ, being born. And we can see that everything that God has said, he put there. He has control over time. See, we're looking at things from where we are right now. It's like God is sitting there with this huge book of time in front of him. And we're back here, right? We're at this spot. And we're here worrying about things. And we're like, man, what's going to go on? And we're going to, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? And God is like, well, while you're there, I've already flipped two pages and fixed it. But you just need to realize that I got control over all that and let me be God. See, that's the reason why you have faith in me, because I can do things that you can't. Like go in time and fix things. And so God has already flipped over a couple pages and said, man, you know, let me look at this thing here. You know what? He's asking for this or she's asking for this. Let me go over here and fix it. And he fixes it, does a little twinkling over there. And before you know it, bam, you know, 2-3 weeks later, you look like, how did my God do this? You want to know how he did it? Because he's doing stuff that we can't do it, and he has control over time. He already fixed it. So that's why we don't pray to ourselves and we don't pray to church members. We pray to this God who can do those things, and we admit that he has his power, that we can't do it by ourselves. He does things that we just can't do. And again, that should give us chills down our spine to realize that we have a God that can do that. I'm just full of examples this evening on the power of God. I got a couple more that I'm going to give you here if I can get this page from being stuck. Matthew 2, 13 to 15 there. Not only did he say, you know what, I'm going to give you this Jesus, but when anybody tries to mess up this Jesus, he says, look, like I told you, he's going to protect that situation. If you're for God and you have his power on your side, he's not going to just be like, you know what, I got this power and leave you alone. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, here it is in this dream again, get up. Take the child to his mother and flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still light and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was the fulfilled which had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet out of Egypt. I called my son. Jesus, God had already talked about this. God had already said this was going to happen. When we read these things, do you realize that these prophets said this a couple thousand years before it actually happened? Can you predict what's going to happen next week? We can't even predict what's going to happen at the weather. That's why we keep looking at it every 5 minutes. But this God, 2,000 years before, said this is what's going to happen. And let me tell you, it happens down to a T. If that is not powerful, that doesn't make you say, man, I need to treat this God with show enough respect, I don't know what will. Because I'm telling you, when I read this, it absolutely does. Let me tell you another thing that he has power over. He has power over order. We're getting ready to move. We're moving Thursday. Now, the moving trucks show up at our house Thursday morning at 11 o'clock. Now, what if they showed up and we just had all the boxes there open and we hadn't did what we were supposed to do? What if they showed up and we hadn't packed up anything? The movers are there ready to go, but we have done nothing. They're going to look at us and say, I mean, I know we're movers, but man, I can't do everything. See, there's a right order. You got to pack. You got to put stuff in boxes. You got to clean. You got to get all this stuff organized. You got to throw away half the stuff in your house, it seems like, when you're moving. All that stuff has to be done, right, before the movers get there. Let me give you an example. When the flood happened, let me show you, God has power over order. When the flood happened, what was the reason the flood happened? Because you said just about every thought of every man was constantly on evil. He cleaned the world because it was dirty. Evil thoughts. He cleaned it with water. That's what he did. And then what happened with the Red Sea? He used water to get his children to safety when they were escaping from Pharaoh. So that's the second instance where he used water. What happened in Joshua 3 and 4? They get to this water, and they're wrapped by the promised land. They can reach over there and see it, and God used water. Now, let me tell you the interesting thing about every one of these situations. Like, when they got to the water in Joshua 3, just think there's this river there. And remember, this God can do everything. And there's this river there, and they need to get across. Now, God could have said, because remember, he controls the weather. He could have said, I want to pick everybody up with this great wind and push them over to the other side. He could have said, I'm going to make this tunnel to go up under the Jordan River to get to the other side. He also could have said, I'm going to have, you know, some kind of angels build a bridge to get to the other side. But he says, no, I need to stop the water so you can go through it. He cleans the earth. He used it in Exodus when it came down to getting through the Red Sea. And he used this water when it comes down to going across in Joshua 3. Because, see, God is the God of order. No wonder we'd get to the New Testament. He says, in order for you to be a new creature, you got to get baptized. Amen? He is the God of order. It's no wonder that we hear, and it says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. It's no wonder. So when somebody comes along, I was explaining this to some of the folks in the new convert class. When somebody comes along and they say, oh, well, you don't need to be baptized. I'm saying, well, God is a God of order. He controls all that. Why would he go through all that to show us that we have to go through water? And then we get to the New Testament. He just said, no, you don't have to do that anymore. If people say that, that means that they don't understand this God and the power that he has. Amen? He showed us. He is the God of order. And I want you to remember that. Joshua 3 is a great place to go and understand this power that God has. One more thing. Exodus 20, 18 through 21. Let me tell you how people react when they see God's power. We talked about people boarding up buildings and such. When they come and they are like, you know, there's a hurricane coming. They're down there in Florida, they actually sometimes... Maybe Calvin knows this. They have a house in Florida somewhere down there. Or their house, not their house, but people have their houses on stilts because they don't want the hurricane to come just wash it away. So they have all this respect. Let's read about these folks in Exodus 20, 18 through 21. And the people perceived the thunder and lightning, flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when they saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, for we will die. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, for God is not come in order to test you, and in order you might fear him remain with you so that you may not sin. So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud as God was. They were afraid to death of this power, these children. Now, mind you, God had done good things for them, but when they saw it, when they saw this cloud there and they heard the trumpet and they saw the thunder and they said all these things, that even though this God had helped them, they said, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. Let me stand back because that is some power and I need to behave different. They were afraid they're going to die. See, everywhere you see in the Bible, people treat God with respect and awe. People treat God like this is not just somebody that I could just wake up. They were afraid even though we helped them. They were even afraid of Moses. Exodus 34:29 there. They were afraid of Moses. Moses came down and his face was glowing. They're like, whoo, man, why you look like that, man? You must have been around God a lot. Like, whoo, man, let me back up from you. They were even afraid of Moses because he's been around them so much. People respect God when they come in contact with him. And just because we don't see him here today doesn't mean that he doesn't dwell with us. And we need to treat him like he's sitting on this front pew with his legs crossed, we need to treat him like that, because that is the God who we serve. Amen? We need to always treat him like this. Leviticus 16, 1 and 2, now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of his two sons, Aaron, when they approached the presence of the Lord and died. The Lord said to Moses, and he goes on and says, hey, these people came before me and I didn't tolerate it. They came before me doing all kind of wish away. I told them how to come in front of me and they died. The Lord was reminding them that that's not a good thing. Always with respect and awe, always with just great understanding of who this God is when people come in contact with him. They always just, you can't find an example in the Bible, nowhere, where somebody comes in contact with God and they are just all willy-nilly. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I have searched for it. I have looked, I have studied, and I'm telling you, don't trust me now. Don't get up here and listen to Buck, because I'm just a man. What you do is you go pick up your Bible and you look for the same instances that I look for. And if you find one, let me know. But I couldn't find anyone in the Bible that approached God half-hearted and everything was okay. It never worked out well when somebody approached God that way. Like I said, don't trust me. You go pick up your Bible. Go look for yourself. But I can't find it. And I saw this sticker. It says the greatest injustice in the world is how we treat God. And that's a true statement. And I hope that's not of the church. I hope we know who it is, because we have lessons like this that point out that this is a God that's worth serving and a God that's worth having respect for. How should we respect him in our worship? Absolutely. We, you know, people don't want to go here. People are like, oh, well, you know, you got to stay away from that. Well, I'm telling you, church, I'm not going to stay away from it. I'm not going to stand up here and act like we shouldn't act a certain way because we're in presence of God. I'm not going to act like we should just waltz in here and be like, we're just going to the county fair. We're not going to the county fair. We're worshiping God. A lot of folks will tell me, oh, well, you know, this is a sticky subject. This is not sticky. This is not something that somebody should be like half-hearted and like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to talk about that. No, we just read about all these things that this God did. And we're going to waltz in here like he's just anybody. No, I'm not going to stay away from it. I'm going to say, we need to remember who this God is when we worship him. I'm not going to be afraid to say it. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, you know, let's stay away from that. No, I'm saying we need to remember who he is. Because because the snap of a finger, he can make us realize real quick that I am who I am. Real fast. Amen? So I'm not going to stand up here, and you shouldn't either. Like I said, don't take my word for it. You go look in the Bible and see how folks treated God when they came in contact with him. And then you judge that on yourself. Nobody's going to make you do anything. We talked about that this morning. But if you have respect and conviction and love for this God, treat him that way. And then in our lives, you know, we say that we have all these things going on. I'm saying, yeah, we do have a lot of things going on. And we have them going on because God allows us to have them going on. We have jobs because God allows us to have jobs. We have success because God allows us to have success. We have kids because God allowed us to have kids. Everything that we had is because God allowed it. He allowed us to have this very moment that I'm having before you right now. This very instance that we're sitting here, he allowed it to happen. And so when we live our lives, we ought to live every second for him. And every second that we have, we ought to be thinking about, I worship this powerful God. And don't be ashamed of it. Don't be timid. Realize and embrace it. Express your gratitude for this God. Express everything that you have. This God, I'm thankful that you love me enough to give me your son. I'm thankful that you love me enough to give me a way out of this sin. I'm thankful that you provided a way so that I can escape from the wrath of you, because he's already said in Romans, what are we escaping? What are we being saved from? We're being saved from the wrath of God. That's what we're being saved from. Don't let anybody tell you different when they say, well, what are you being saved from? No, we're being saved from the wrath of God. That's what the scripture says. So if we know this, then let us act like that. And I'm not saying that we aren't. I'm just saying that this is a reminder. And if all of you are doing it perfect, fine. I'll preach to myself today. But I'm just telling you, I know I need reminders sometimes. This is just not some homeboy that we're talking about. Or some friend that we grew up with. This is God Almighty. Let's remember that, church. Remember his ultimate power. He can end all of it right now. He can stop it for right us in our tracks. And remember that he's powerful enough to do everything. He's powerful enough to save us from our sins. He's powerful enough to wash this whole world away. He's powerful enough to convert ourselves so that we can go be with him in eternity. That's the God that we serve. I hope this lesson has been good to you because it's been good to me. Standing up here preaching it, I hope that you understand. I hope that this is a reminder of the power of God. My lesson for the title for this lesson was If You Only Knew. Well, you know now, without a shadow of a doubt, that we worship this God who can do all things. If you're here today and you want to be a Christian, then you'll be taking advantage of some of that good power that God has. Someone that can literally say, you know what, your soul may be in this condition, but when I get done with it, when my son's blood gets done with it, you're going to be in a completely different position. Now, that's power. And if you're here and you are a Christian and you hadn't been living that way, you hadn't recognized the power of God, just kind of out there gallivanting around doing what you want to do and not really being concerned with what God has said to do, then that's fine. Except for you got to stand before God. And what you should do, what I hope you would do, is come up here and have that same humility that you had when you got in the water in the first place and say, I need the prayers of the church. Help me. See, that's power that we don't understand, this prayer. How it all works, I can't stand up here and explain it, but we just know that God is powerful and he can fix it. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.